NYYST. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Yup, swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Record rain or shine, grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 434 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian. As always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
A little less enthusiastic from you this morning, bro. I wonder why.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say maybe 4% of it is I've barely slept the last two nights, and we're recording early for us.
And, go ahead.
And the rest of it is I'm speechless.
Okay. Well, if you're speechless, let me speech. Okay.
Okay.
It's about 9 o'clock in the morning here on Sunday, the off day in between games 2 and 3 of the World Series here. Yankees are not in a good spot right now. They're heading to the Bronx, down 2-0 in this World Series. And, you know, sometimes we go on these marathon long sessions here. It's not going to be the longest show. It doesn't need to be the longest show because there's not really a lot that needs to be spoken about except for some frustrations that we have right now. I know on Thursday I said that there was a way that this could go sideways really quickly, and it has here. And the Yankees are in a lot of trouble heading back to the Bronx, down 2-0. Now, I'll just get this out of the way really quickly because I don't think that Dodger fans listen to this, but apparently we've infiltrated their algorithm on TikTok, and they're a very triggered bunch for being up 2-0 in the World Series. Okay,
they're a Hollywood bunch.
They're a triggered bunch. Okay, I don't know if there's one goal with the other.
Yes, always.
Okay. The Dodgers are up 2-0 in this series, and a lot of the replies that I get on because I made post game videos about the first two games, and a lot of the replies I get are, stop crying, Dodgers are better, stop crying, Dodgers are better. Look, you guys were the best team in baseball all year. You absolutely deserve to be here. And no one's taking that away from you. But number one, I'm sitting in full Yankee gear with pictures of Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter behind me on an account that starts with NYY, and they want to know why we're not talking more Dodgers. I don't know, bro. Maybe you should wake up and pay attention to what's happening earlier in the season than just the World Series. That's number one. Number two, I come away with these first two games of the World Series, not that the Dodgers are better, that the Yankees have not played a good brand of baseball in these first two games. And that's exactly what I said on Thursday, that the Yankees needed to play an A-plus brand of baseball to beat the Dodgers.
Because they're good. Because the Dodgers are good.
Right. The Dodgers are the best team that the Yankees have obviously faced in this postseason. No doubt about that. Again, you easy path people are delusional. But this is obviously a step up in class and competition in the World Series. And the Yankees had to play clean baseball to beat the Dodgers. They have not done that. They have not won a game so far. I mean, it's pretty simple. But I don't look at this series like through the first two games, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I don't look at the first two games of this series as the Yankees are overmatched. I look at this series that the Yankees have not played good baseball, and that's why they lost so far.
And the most frustrating part is, man, we've been seeing this from the Yankees all year. We saw it in the ALDS. We saw it in the ALCS. This team, their flaws are coming back to bite them in the ass against the team that you can't make mistakes against. And it's happening right in front of your eyes. And it's the sloppiness. It's the sloppiness that you want to call the Yankees a great team. Go ahead. They won a pennant. I don't care how they got there. They won a pennant. They're a great team. Great teams can't play this way and finish the job. That's just not how the world works. That's not how baseball works. You're going to run into a team that's just as good, if not better than you. And you can't afford to make those. Look, last night, was more of one of those games where the offense doesn't show up. But game one, if they play a clean brand of baseball, like you're saying, that's a no doubter. You steal game one in all the right ways. You get the big hit. You get the great pitching. That's your game. Your job in any seven-game series is to steal a game on the road and win your home games. The Yankees would have done that. And they would have put the Dodgers on the ropes immediately. And they didn't, and they failed.
Yeah, I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on game one. I think everything has been dissected to death so far. But I don't even think – look, that was the game the Yankees had to win. You had Gerrit Cole on the mound. He gave you an excellent performance, one run over six innings. I mean, you want to debate him coming out of the game at 88 pitches. Boone said that he was done, didn't want to elaborate why he was done. I mean, if I'm trying to look at it logically, the only thing that I can think of there, and there's two things that I can think of there, really, is maybe three. Number one, we've seen Gerrit Cole sit at cruising speed, 94-95, all season long, coming back from the injury, and only pumped it up to 97-98 when he needed a big out, needed to get a strikeout. He was at 98-plus from the second inning on. Maybe that gassed him because he hasn't really...
And when he needed that upper, when he needed to go up,
he was at 99. Right. Maybe that took a lot out of him. I don't know. He hasn't done it all year. So I'm just speculating here. Number two, he had to work really hard to get through the sixth inning. Edmund was batting ninth, right, on Friday? I think it was Edmund. The guy's a fucking pain in the ass, man. He is one of those players that win you championships. He's not a superstar. He's not even, he might be cusp. He's just a pain in the ass. And
he's like a Stephen Kwan.
He's better than Stephen Kwan. Stephen Kwan really had no effect on the series other than driving up pitch counts. He's come up with big hits. If he doesn't make that play on Austin Wells, the Yankees have at least another run.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, then he worked through the heart of the order. Otani, Betts, and Freeman didn't give up a run, got all three of those guys out. I don't know. Maybe at that point, Boone felt with the leadoff single in the seventh, he didn't want him to work through trouble again. I don't know. But again, Derek Jeter said this, and a lot of, it's not rocket science. He's absolutely right in saying it. It creates a domino effect throughout the rest of the series that you take him out at 88 pitches. If he's done, I don't know, man. I'm just saying that this guy has not pitched a full season. He didn't hit 100 pitches. But again, we're speculating here, right? He hasn't hit 100. Has he thrown 100 pitches at all, once in any start this season?
Probably not.
So I don't know. Does that mean that he's gassed, or does that mean that we should expect more out of him because this is the World Series?
There's a lot of speculation. I mean, the one thing that – so there's a couple different things here. The first thing is Boone has a certain way of going about walking out there and knowing he's going to take a pitcher out. You just know it's coming.
Like he wasn't
necessarily going out there to take him out. So that's the first thing. The second thing is there wasn't – at least from my perspective of what I saw, there wasn't much fight from Gerrit Cole, if any at all. So those things to me point to Cole being honest and saying, I feel gassed. But at the same time, I don't understand how your ace is at 88 pitches, pitching the way he was in a World Series game, and him admitting he's gassed. I don't understand that. I don't see that from Cole. And then the last part of it is, if he's gassed after one, there was one out, right, in the seventh?
No, he would let off. It was Hernandez, Teoscar Hernandez.
Oh, right. He let off with a base hit, right?
Yeah.
So then maybe that. So, yeah, I mean, maybe then, yeah. I'm thinking he got one out there.
But again, like Jeter said, it creates a domino effect because you don't get Cole through the seventh. Now they have to bring in Clay Holmes, who, you know, was wild. The Dodgers gave, you know, the Dodgers are up 2-0, but they haven't played a crisp brand of baseball either, because you can't give Clay Holmes a free out there in that situation.
Yeah.
He was all over the place. He walked the next batter, and then Kike Hernandez bunts. You can't give him an out there.
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me.
But then he gives up. The next batter hits a rocket somewhere. I forget. Was it to Volpe?
Yeah.
That's the out. And then Boone's got to go to another pitcher in the seventh inning. So now you bring in Tommy an inning early, now, which means that now, because this is happening, that means Ohtani is not due up in the ninth. Ohtani's due up in the eighth. He gets to face Tommy. He puts one off the wall. And then this is where the clean brand of baseball comes in. You know, I'm not going to get on Soto there. Soto has his issues defensively. We know this. I think he got the ball and he didn't get it in cleanly, but Ohtani's speed, he's probably got a double anyway, right?
Oh, he's definitely got a double. That's not even questionable.
Somebody has to be behind Gleyber Torres. And more importantly, that's not a ball that a major league second baseman should tell you that he can't pick. He's got to keep that ball in front of him there.
Christian, he shouldn't be picking it at all.
I'm not. Okay.
You go into defensive mode. You become a brick wall.
I thought you were going to blame Soto there, but I'm saying he's got to keep that keep it in front of you. That ball cannot get past you. Every 90, this is a war of attrition in the World Series. Every pitch means something. Every 90
every
feet
pitch.
means something. You gave the Dodgers a free 90 feet, and what happens?
Scored.
Mookie Betts scores him. Sack fly. Because now you got to bring in Luke Weaver in the eighth inning. Now he's in a situation. You don't want Luke Weaver. I guess you do. You're still up in that situation, but you put him in an impossible situation where he's basically guaranteed to give up the run. And you'd like him not to, but you know he's facing Betts and Freeman there. Betts, how many outs were there?
There was one out.
One out. So I mean, you're facing Mookie Betts, who's one of the best hitters in baseball. Where all he's got to do is drive a decent.
There might have not been any outs. And as far as the Soto throw goes, could it have been better? Sure. But as a fielder, your goal is to throw the ball low. If Soto throws the ball over Gleyber Torres' head, then it's on Soto. If Soto throws the ball in the ground in front of Torres.
There was one out when Weaver came in because he only threw an inning and 2/3. So
if the ball's over Torres' head, it's on Soto. If the ball is in front of Torres on the ground, that's not on Soto anymore. That's what you're trained to do. When you're in the infield, and I know this as a first baseman, the other players are taught to throw the ball. If you're gonna misthrow the ball, it better be in the dirt. And then it's the first baseman's job to keep it in front. Same thing goes with the cutoffs, with the guy covering second. That's just not on Soto. And there's plenty to complain about Soto in the field. That play just isn't it.
I mean, but here's the trade-off with Juan Soto. Who else has showed up offensively in this series?
Oh, Stanton. Again.
Okay.
But that's it. I mean, it's just been them two.
This is the trade-off you make with Juan Soto.
Absolutely. You make it every day.
And then, you know, so you don't give up those 90 feet. Do we win the baseball game?
Maybe.
Then here we go. I mean, it's been dissected to death. And this is another thing that I heard time and time and time again. This from Yankee fans. You guys can't be so dense to say these things. This is not Monday morning quarterbacking. This is not second-guessing Aaron Boone. If you're defending Aaron Boone in that situation, you are delusional. We all said we wanted to run through a brick wall for Nestor Cortez in this for what he said. I'll blow out my elbow to win a World Series. But we also said that we should not be in a position where we need to see Nestor Cortez in games 1 and 2 of this series. And in the biggest moment of the series so far. Well, you know, maybe you want to say Volpe's at bat, but we'll get to there in a second. In the biggest moment of game 1, He brings in Nestor Cortez to face Shohei Ohtani.
Makes no sense.
And yes, yes, 100%. Jay Cousins gets a lot to blame. You have to. You cannot walk the eight hitter. No. You cannot be in a position where Shohei Ohtani is coming up because it's 7-8-9. You don't even have to face Ohtani. And then the nine hitter again, Edmund, a pain in the ass. Is that a play that Oswaldo Cabrera should make?
Yeah,
it's debatable. I mean,
he should have. He can't.
Does Gleyber Torres make the play? Again, maybe. This is Gleyber Torres we're talking about here. I mean, it's not exactly a Gold Glover over there. But this is the chess game that you have to play in the World Series. That after the fan interference, you know, Glaber's at second. You got to pinch run for him there. I mean, he's slow. You got to try to do anything with Soto and Judge and San do up that a base hit can score you, and you don't know that with Glaber. So, you know, you can't get on Boone for pinch running there.
No.
And then here, you know.
Well, you can get on him for his path he takes to pinch run.
Right. I mean, it was dumb to burn two players there. You're going to bring in Cabrera. Why did you burn Dominguez in that situation?
Makes zero sense.
Because, you know, even if Dominguez is, quote, faster, Cabrera's scoring on a single anyway.
Right. It's not enough of a discrepancy to justify burning two players at all. I don't care what anyone says.
So now you're set up in a situation where you have to pitch to Shohei Ohtani. Second and third, right? It was second and third because they walked Betts. No, I'm sorry. It was first and second because of the Verdugo makes an insane play there. And he falls into the stands and they award it because
he throws the ball in like an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, so it is what it is there. I mean, he just lost track of where he was. But if you look, here's what people are missing, right? A lot of Boone defenders. Well, he got Ohtani. He shouldn't have gotten Ohtani.
That was a pitch right down the fucking...
That pitch was 92 miles an hour, pretty much in the nitro zone for a left-handed hitter. And Shohei Ohtani missed it.
Thank God. Because if he didn't, it's all we would hear about for the next 40 years.
He missed it. Verdugo makes an insane play. Again, the clarification of the rule, is it because he threw the ball?
I believe so.
Okay, so whatever. He threw the ball, and it cost the Yankees two bases. Now you got to walk Mookie Betts. And then people are saying, oh, you can't walk. You have to pitch to Mookie Betts. In what world are you pitching to Mookie Betts there?
You can argue Mookie Betts has been their hottest hitter.
Nestor's in the game to get Ohtani and Freeman out. I mean, you committed to him there. You can't pitch to Mookie Betts with a base open. And then what does he do? Here's the Nestor Cortez challenge here. Oh, if I got Ohtani out on 92 down the dick, let me throw the same exact fucking pitch to Freddie Freeman. Game over.
No doubter.
So, again, you don't want to look. I'm not expecting heroics. I was hoping, but not expecting heroics from Nestor in that situation. You put him into a very tough spot against the heart of their lineup, against three former MVPs that he hasn't pitched in 5 weeks. When you have Tim Hill warming next to him. It's not like you burned Tim Hill earlier in this game and you didn't have him. Because then you're not second-guessed. Everybody's saying you got to go to a lefty there. You got beat. Okay? Because then what are you arguing at that point? Are you arguing Tim Mesa should be in the game over Nestor Cortez?
Right.
You're not, if you're a rational person.
Right.
You have Tim Hill, who's done it all postseason long, warming up next to him. And Chris, it's not even the fact that he did it, which is bad enough, which is not second guessing or Monday morning quarterbacking, because we cover this team. We've watched Tim Hill be fucking nails all postseason long, getting out huge
Oh, like last night?
And it gets Freddie Freeman out last night. Go figure, right? Getting this Yankee team out of jam after jam after jam in the postseason.
Makes no sense.
So it's not second guessing. It's saying, why are you not using the guy that's done this for you all postseason?
You lose with your best players, man. You lose with your best options.
All right, so he goes to Nestor, right? And you know what? It's bad enough that you lose a World Series game because it was mismanaged, okay? Because when you boil it all down, right, to the Glaber didn't pick this, Edmund makes a great play, saves a run, Judge doesn't show up again, right? When you boil it all down, the Yankees were an out away. They had a lead going into the 10th inning of the World Series, and they lost because their manager got too cute.
Yep.
That's what it boils down to.
Seen that before.
Your whole goal is to get to the final inning with a lead. Now they, you know, it was tied. You go to the extra inning. You go to the 10th inning. The 10th inning was the final inning, should have been the final inning. You take the lead in the top of the 10th inning. Right? And shout out to Josh Chisholm, who's awakened in this series. Right? This is why we got so frustrated with him, because what did he do in the top of the 10th inning? Single, creates that run all by himself. Yep. So anyway, you're in a position to win this game. Jake Cousins doesn't have it. Fine. You got to make a move. Okay. You're being proactive there. You don't go to Nestor Cortez. That's not the move. Everybody knows that. And anybody defending that, you're delusional. I'm sorry. You cannot defend that.
Nope.
And then here's what it is, bro. It's not even that he did it, which is bad enough on its own. It's his reasoning for it. Do you know what he said?
Yeah, something about Tim Hill's numbers against Ohtani or something.
No. If you're defending Aaron Boone after this, you need to be checked into a mental institution. You really do. He didn't want Tim Hill because of Tim Hill's ground ball rate and that Shohei Ohtani is too fast to double up.
What?
That's what he said. He said it would have been too hard to turn a double play because of Tim Hill's ground ball rate. It would have been too hard to turn a double play with Shohei Ohtani's speed.
You know what that does for me? It just proves that if they win this World Series, it's in spite of having him as the manager. We've been saying it for how long? And I'll give him credit, man, that this team won a pennant. And, you know, that's a big accomplishment. But I unfortunately think we're right in when we say this team will never win the entire thing with him as manager. I mean, that's just the most incompetent reason I could ever imagine. Ever.
And, you know, I gave him credit in one of the videos or on a tweet or something. And I said, he's actually been really good this postseason.
He has.
And people are like, well, because he hasn't screwed up. Yeah, that's the fucking point, genius. He didn't screw up.
He hasn't made us question. Even when they lost, we haven't questioned. Even when they won, really. I mean, there's been a couple of questionable moves where you say, I don't know about this. But, you know, they work out. He pushes the right buttons. You know, there's been a couple here and there that haven't worked out, but overall, when you're looking at the big picture, Aaron Boone's been really good. He's on the biggest, brightest stage that he hasn't been in before, and it's like we're right back to square one with him.
When you're the manager, especially of the Yankees, your goal is just not screw things up. Put your nine guys out there, go to the bullpen when you're supposed to, put in the guys that you're supposed to, and if they don't come through, then that's on them.
Yes. That's all we ask for as fans, right? Give us the guys who got us here.
Dude,
you can argue that without Tim Hill, not just because of his results, but because of how many innings he's been in.
That's another unsung part of what he's done. He's eaten a lot of innings.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he is your guy. He is your guy in that situation. Nestor Cortez shouldn't even be warming up. Nestor Cortez should, and this is nothing to do with Nestor. This is not a knock on Nestor Cortez. He hasn't pitched in 5 weeks. That's not the role that you put him on this roster for. That has Tim Hill written all over it. You should be grateful you have a guy who has gotten you big out after big out, still available in the 10th inning. That means you did a really good job. You still have one of your big pieces left in the bullpen with lefties coming up. Are you kidding me, dude? You should be itching to get to Tim Hill. And you go to Nestor Cortez, man. What are we doing? Why are we even, why do we have to talk about this? Why is this even a discussion? If Tim Hill goes out there, dude, and gives up the grand slam, I'm sitting here going, yeah, that sucked.
Nobody's questioning it.
But no one's questioning it, man.
And here's another thing. Nestor Cortez is not a reliever. He's not used to having to come in to clean up somebody else's mess, especially when he hasn't pitched in 5 weeks. I could see, let's say, even if the Yankees take the lead in the 10th inning and you're giving Nestor a clean inning with Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman, I can even rationalize that. But once there's a mess to be cleaned up, you go to the guy that's done it all October.
The more you think about it, the less sense it makes.
And the reason why you still on Sunday morning are harping about game one is because that was a game the Yankees should have won and needed to win. And we're in a position to win. And really, again, as I said, when you boil it down, they lost because their manager got in their way. Yeah. When you take it down to the simplest fraction of why they lost the game, the manager got in the way of them winning the baseball game.
Yeah.
Because what happened? I said there was a way this could get ugly really quick, especially if they don't win game one. They didn't. Offense is quiet for 8 innings yesterday. And again, I'll give Yamamoto a lot of credit, man.
He was filthy.
You know, he's gotten into the 7th inning twice in his major league career. You know, guess who he's done it against both times?
The Yankees.
He had really good stuff yesterday. He was also in a position where, you know, if the Yankees were working better at bats and some of them weren't grinding the bats to sawdust, they maybe could have, you know, scratched out a couple of better at bats here, maybe made him work and gotten into that bullpen a little earlier. But I say this knowing that Carlos Rodon fully puked all over himself in the World Series yesterday. You give up the home run to Tommy Edman. Again, this guy's a pain in the ass. He's a guy that every championship team needs. You don't win World Series without guys like Tommy Edman. So you got to give him a lot of credit. Another trade deadline acquisition for the Dodgers, making an impact in the postseason. And it's funny, when the Yankees trade for a guy that was injured at the trade deadline from the Cardinals, we get Harrison Bader. They do it, and they get the NLCS MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you give it the home run to Edmund, right? Okay, whatever. One run's not going to kill you. Then you go, Soto hits the home run. You're tied up. You give up back-to-back home runs the next inning. Game's pretty
a two-run homer, not even solo shots. Homer, and then
to Teoscar, and then Freddie Freeman, and then he gives up a fucking rocket to Edmund. I don't even know how he got out of the inning after that point without giving up more runs. But Yankees get 4-1. Really, you're feeling deflated, but this offense should be able to come back from that, and they didn't. Yep. And you can go to the 9th inning. And you can say that you want to put a lot of, you want to put a lot of blame on Aaron Judge, which we will. We're going to end the show with that. I'm going to give you your time to speak, and I'm going to take my time to speak because I don't know if we're going to see eye to eye on this about how this is going here. And that's not that I'm giving him a pass for anything. I'm very disappointed in him, obviously. But, you say Aaron Judge, even if he can work a walk in that situation, you're not putting an out in the middle of this rally. The game came down to Anthony Volpe. 4-2, bases loaded with one out. And he has the worst at-bat of the postseason for him. And Smoltz called it. Smoltz has been atrocious calling this series. He has been. Because in the first inning, he wants Juan Soto to swing at balls, right? This is what he wants Juan Soto to do. And then he said he needs to get his bat going. Guy's hitting over 330 in the postseason. Just hit a game, a pennant clinching home run, but he needs to get his bat going.
Yeah.
What are we even talking about here?
Smart.
And then, oh, the other thing that he said is that since Freeman hit the grand slam off of a fastball, you can't throw him fastballs anymore. Yeah, yeah, I mean, how many times did you give up a home run in your career? Then you just abandon throwing that pitch to that.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking idiot.
And I got to, you know, even though Freeman did get, what's his face, Rodon later in the game, there's a difference between 92 down the middle, which is what Nestor gave him,
right,
and then 98 up in the zone, which is what Rodon was throwing him.
Yeah.
Well, we're not here to bitch about John Smoltz. He said the front hip is leaking. He's going to flail at that slider away. And what did he do?
It's just, you just knew it was coming.
I mean, at that point there, you have bases loaded, Volpe up. Even if you get a, you know, with one out, a sac fly really doesn't do you any good. I'll be honest with you, it really doesn't. You got to put a good at bat on him. And Trinan wanted to give the game away. He had really little control of his stuff last night. And Volpe couldn't lay off those breaking balls away from him.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I forget which at bat it was. I think it was Volpe. Rizzo gets hit, and then who's up next?
It's Volpe.
Okay, so then it was Volpe. Rizzo gets hit, and the first thing I'm saying is you better be taking until you get a strike. And he swings, correct me if I'm wrong, swings first pitch on that slider. I'm almost positive.
Let me look that up, because I want to say that he did get a fastball early in the count.
I'm almost positive he swung at a ball for strike one. And I just said to myself, what kind of approach is this? This can't be your approach as a major league hitter. It just can't.
All right, Volpe here. Pitch one. Yeah, that pitch was on the Statcast here. It's on the chalk of the left-handed batter's box. He swings.
Yep.
Pitch two, they went even further outside in the dirt. He lays off. Pitch three is a sinker up. He lays off. Now he's in control of the count here. And then then pitch four was, and then that's where, this is where you knew the at-bat was over. He gets a hanging slider middle in.
Yep.
Missed it. Fouls. Then he fouls off pitch five, slider away, which wasn't as bad as the first pitch, but still ball. That's a ball there. And then he just embarrassed him with a ball that was just.
Do you know what kind of a different at bat this is if he says, I'm not taking the bat off my shoulder until I get a strike? And it's,
yeah, it's 4-3.
And it's 1-0. Yeah.
One out.
Yeah. I mean, easily.
You
just got to be better than that. That's coaching, too.
Well,
I'm sorry. The Yankees' philosophy of not telling guys to take until they get a strike, it's just asinine to me.
I can't say that he definitely walks. I mean, based on these pitches, you're assuming that, but you don't know if trying to try something different.
No, what I'm saying is he has much better pitches to hit, and his balance isn't. He's not going back. The reason why he's going to the outside slider so much is because he swings at that first pitch. If he just tells himself, I'm not swinging at the first pitch no matter what until I get a strike, and Trinan throws that pitch and he lays off it, it becomes a completely different approach as a pitcher.
Even if he's sitting fastball and he says, the only pitch I'm swinging at is a fastball.
If he wants to do that, fine. I'm still taking until I get a strike, but
probably because of the tenor of the way he Trinan has been pitching, knowing that he just hit Rizzo, I'm probably taking a strike in that situation, but also I'm saying to myself, I'm not swinging at any breaking balls.
You're right. If he's going to swing and not take until he gets a strike, it better be a fastball. It's got to be a pitch I can do damage with. You can't be swinging at a slider that's a foot off the plate. That's just, if I'm a pitcher at that point, the only thing I'm thinking is, got him. It doesn't matter what I throw anymore. I technically don't have to throw him a pitch in the zone the rest of this at bat, and I still have him fooled.
Well, you know what? I'm stunned that Trinan threw him that 1-1 sinker. I mean, Volpe took it because it was up, but he expanded the zone too far on that second pitch. All he had to do was say, I got to be a little closer to the strike zone. I mean, he hung one on the fourth pitch there, and Volpe missed it. And, you know, and then Trinan, he knew he had him. He knew he had him. The guy's a veteran. He's been a closer in this league for a long time. And then when you go to Jose Trevino to be the hero, you know there's no hope there. He tried to jump. I mean, he tried to jump a first pitch fastball.
I don't really blame him there.
No, I can't blame him, but I'm also
I never like jumping on the first pitch of a guy you haven't seen. But at the same time, I'm sure the scouting reports at that point are saying, especially with the bases loaded there, it's Jose Trevino. You gotta be sitting there pretty confident you're getting a fastball to hit.
Yeah, because you know if he's sitting there waiting around for that breaking stuff, he's not going to touch it. I mean, he put a good swing on it, but it is, you know, game over.
Now, who's up after Trevino at that point?
Verdugo.
So you're also thinking, like, I'm the guy. They can't let me get on base at this point. I'm the guy they're going to have to get. Lefty's coming up. Yeah, I mean, that's the pitch you jump on.
They had gone to the lefty there in that situation. I don't know. Do you think Boone's really got the balls to go to Dominguez in that spot if Trevino gets on?
Look, I actually, a lot of people will argue it should have been Dominguez over. Are you saying Dominguez for Verdugo?
Yeah.
No. And look, man, Verdugo's been... he's been tough to watch at the plate, but I see so many people saying he needs to be out of the lineup. His defense has been too good. I'm sorry. We shouldn't be relying on Verdugo in this lineup right now with the way he's playing defensively. Other guys have to step up. For once, I'm going to defend Boone here. I don't see how replacing him in this lineup for Dominguez makes any sense. Dominguez is we already have liabilities out there. Why are we going to create another one? It makes zero sense. And I don't know in that situation that you even go to Dominguez. I don't know. If you want to argue that some people are arguing that Dominguez should have came up instead of Trevino, I'm going to disagree there too. At least I know Trevino puts the ball in play. There's so many things to bash Boone about, and I don't think that ninth inning tenth inning. Sorry,
no, the ninth inning.
Ninth.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Look, guys, I get it. When the Yankees lose, Boone's going to get the blame. But when they're saying that he's cost them two games of this World Series, I don't think that he cost the Yankees the game last night.
No.
They got poor performance from their starter, and their superstar didn't show up. And that's just, I'll say what I'm going to say, and then you can say what you want to say here, and we'll wrap up the show on this. And maybe if you saw my post-game reaction, you'll kind of get where I'm going with this. I'm not mad. I can't get to a level of anger right now with Aaron Judge. I'm supremely disappointed. It's almost like a level of depression with him. I'm not calling for him to be benched or dropped in the lineup. I think that's ridiculous. You know, A-Rod suggested it. Should we swap him and Soto? Maybe. I don't know.
No.
But anything, you're telling me you want him to bat fifth or lower, don't even put him in the lineup then. Right? But what I'm saying here is that I'm not mad at him because I can't get to that level with him for some reason. For some reason, I can't get to a level of anger with him. I'm just so depressed watching him take these at-bats now. And I've been saying it for years almost, and months and weeks and days leading into this World Series. You want to say anything about this easy path the Yankees have been on? It's that they've been able to survive without Aaron Judge performing like Aaron Judge in the American League playoffs. You know that you cannot beat the Dodgers without this guy playing like a fucking MVP, and he hasn't done it. He's looked like a guy that is pressing right now. He's in his own head. He's not swinging at strikes. He's admitted it himself last night that he's not swinging at strikes, that he's expanding the zone. Why? Why are you not that guy right now? You don't have to be anything more than what you've been. You're the best player in baseball for a reason. You don't have to expand the zone. And yeah, they showed the swing path in game two. He's behind on the fastball. He's in, you know, he's early on the slider. And I talked to you guys about that on when I broke down the at bat in the ninth inning on Friday. It's just, this is a guy that's just caught in between. And it's not mechanical, it's up here right now. He knows it. Everybody's asking him about it. And does he break out of it coming home to New York? I don't know. I have to leave at least this much hope open, or what's the point of trying to watch the rest of the series? Really? I know how good this guy is. This guy has brought me so much joy watching him play baseball that I'm just depressed watching it happen. Yankee fans want to clown him. I think that's stupid. You're clowning your best player. That's for the other opposing fan bases to do. Clown Aaron Judge and make jokes at his expense. I think you're ridiculous that you sit there and you post these stupid memes of him.
They're pretty funny, though, some of them.
Yeah, fine. But, I mean, you know, this is your best player. We're not winning the World Series without him.
Nope.
I'm just so down watching him. Because once you can tell right away, it's the first swing that he takes or the first strike that he gets, that he has no hope in the at-bat. It's just a level of, like I keep saying this, it's depression watching him. It's not anger, because you know he's better than this. You know how great that he is. And you know this fan base, if you say that you hate Aaron Judge, you're an asshole and you're a liar. We're all upset with the way that he's been playing baseball in this postseason. We're all upset that he's not shown up in October. To say that you hate him, you're a liar. Yeah. You don't hate him when he's having this, when it's the greatest statistical seasons ever in Major League Baseball. You don't hate him when he's breaking a record that's 61 years old. You don't hate him when you're sitting out there cursing a wall in Los Angeles for robbing him of what would have been a third consecutive MVP season. You hate the way that he's playing. You don't hate him. You want him off the team. Shut up. You're just dumb when you say things like that. Oh, he wasn't worth the contract. Yeah, eat a bag of dog shit, pal. He's got to be better. Nobody's saying that he doesn't have to be better. Nobody's sitting here making excuses for him, saying that this is okay. It's unacceptable. The Yankees are in the World Series. They need Aaron Judge to be Aaron Judge. But to sit there and say, we need to go boo him. And there's some massive, massive accounts that have far outreached the, platform that we have here, saying that when he's introduced on Monday, you have to boo him. Get the fuck out of here, man. You want any hope of coming back in this series? You want any hope of Aaron Judge being that MVP? You want to boo him in World Series introductions? We waited 15 years for the World Series to be played in the Bronx, and you want to boo Aaron Judge? This is why I get so mad at this fan base, because you can't just sit here and be and focus in on the thing that you need to focus in on, because they always take it to the next level. Like with the Soto home run, you're sitting there having to deflect how great it was, because people say, oh, it was better than Aaron Boone's home run.
Yeah.
But like, you can't just sit here and say that Aaron Judge has to be better. I'm upset with the way that he's playing. Now you got to go and actually defend the guy, because there's fans out there with hundreds of thousands of followers on huge, massive platforms that want you to boo him when he's introduced on Monday. You know, fan however you want to fan. I just think it's insanely stupid to create that vibe around him and the team before a pitch is thrown. A pitch that we've been waiting 15 years to be thrown in the Bronx. That's the vibe you want to create. I'm depressed watching him play baseball, but guess what, Chris? There's one man that can change all of that, and it's him, and he knows it. And this is why I was so adamant about him changing the narrative in the first inning on Friday night, because look at how it's snowballed since then.
You're right. You were right. I'll keep this short and sweet. You pretty much hit everything on the head. It's exactly how I feel. I'm not touching him in the lineup. I'm not. It kind of goes back to what I said about Boone getting cute with going to Nestor. This has to be the formula that works for you. Aaron Judge should not be touched. Aaron Judge needs to show up. As a manager, there's nothing you have to do in that sense. Don't overthink it. This is your guy. If he doesn't show up in the position that you need him in, that you've had him in all year, that's on Aaron Judge. It's not on you as a manager. Don't touch anything. Things shouldn't have to be touched. If we're going to call him one of the greatest baseball players to ever live, he shouldn't have to be touched in the postseason. That's not the answer. Whether you think it is in your head or not, it's not the answer. Would I, if I saw a lineup come out and he was moved, would I flip out about it? No. It is what it is. I mean, if you really want to switch things up, that's fine. All that proves to me, though, is that you don't believe he's the guy that we all know he can be. And the Yankees are the last organization to ever doubt a player's ability. And I just don't see that happening. Depressed is the best way to describe it. I got a little angry at him last night. It wasn't like anger, like I hate him. It was anger that I love him so much. And this is what he's giving me. I personally, Christian, this is where we're going to disagree. I love all the big moments. You can argue that without Aaron Judge, this team isn't even anywhere near where they've been since he's become a Yankee, and I would not disagree with you on it. But if this is the trend that he continues to go down, he's nothing to me. He really is, and I'll always be grateful for the big moments. I really will. Him breaking the home run record was incredible. Watching him in the regular season put up offensive numbers that he did this past year was absolutely incredible. Whether the Yankees were in a playoff run or not, I'd still tune in every night just to watch him take his at-bats. And for that, I will always be grateful. But I will not sit here and defend him as one of the greatest players I've ever watched if this is what we continue to see in October. And I think that's more than fair. This guy, look, here's what I'm doing if I'm Aaron Judge. This sounds crazy, right? Here's what I'm trying for game three. I'm possibly... this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people. I'm taking till I get two strikes. Because Aaron Judge is putting himself in a hole every single at bat. Pitchers aren't putting him in a hole. He's putting himself in a hole. And that's where he needs to change. For at least the first at bat, I'm saying, let me see what happens if I don't take the bat off my shoulder until I get two strikes. Let the pitcher put me in the hole. I can't keep letting myself put myself in a hole. And that could change his approach, because you're seeing he's putting himself in a hole on pitches he cannot do damage with. And then by the time he gets himself into that hole, the pitches he can do damage with, he's not seeing them. He's not seeing them. So it sounds a little crazy.
A lot of pitches too.
He did. But it does sound crazy. Maybe you want to say one strike, fine. But he's putting himself in a hole. And it's got to stop. And the last thing I'll say is, it's emasculating, man. He is sandwiched between two guys who are stepping up and putting this team on their backs offensively. And he's being seen as an automatic out by these pitchers. I mean, pitchers are literally, they're sweating before him and they're sweating after him. And then when they get to Aaron Judge, it's like a deep breath. It's like a sigh of relief. That's emasculating, man. He's got to change the narrative himself. He's put himself in this situation. He's got to take himself out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's all fair what you said. I don't know if I'll ever get to a point where he's quote nothing to me, but I'll say this, the regular season, it's always going to be like, yeah, but what?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to come down to. If he doesn't
and that
have
doesn't that. Mean we can't appreciate what he does. I will always appreciate what he does in the regular season. I will always cherish those memories. And I will never take it for granted. But at a certain point when the team gets this far, you have to say to yourself, how much does that really matter as a trade-off to seeing what we're seeing in October right now?
I mean, let's see how these three games in New York go.
He still Hopefully has plenty three. Of time to turn it around, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. He's going to have the bat in his hands here come Monday in the first inning. So he's the one that can change this narrative and change it quickly with a big game three. And that's really the two things the Yankees have to do on Monday. They have to get Clark Schmidt even or ahead into the fifth. And Aaron Judge has to dominate this game. If that doesn't happen, you know, the Dodgers are celebrating on Tuesday. I hate to say it, but that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So one quick thing, you know, it sucks that Ohtani got hurt. I've read that this is a 4 to 6 week injury, but then Dave Roberts sounded like he's going to be in the lineup on Monday.
Yeah, there's
I
no way.
I have no idea. And is that a break for the Yankees? I don't know. You tell me. If this team doesn't score, it doesn't matter if, you know, the Dodgers went and found a JV team that plays in at a Bronx high school and put them out there on Monday. The Yankees are going to have trouble winning these games.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If you're going to win a World Series, you want to win the World Series against their best. And, you know, so losing Ohtani sucks from an entertainment perspective and also as like a Yankee fan perspective because, hey, you know what? If we win the World Series and Ohtani misses it, they're going to say, well, look how easy it was. You guys only won after Ohtani was out.
You always want the best players on the field when you're competing. You always do.
I'll ask you two questions to end the show here.
Okay.
And give me yes or no. Are we playing a game five?
Yes.
Are we going back to L.A.?
No.
No, Chris thinks it's over. I it's hard to say that you're wrong at this point. I'll say this. If the Yankees don't win all three games in New York, they're not winning the World Series. That's basically where I'm at right now. They have to sweep and go back to LA with a chance, with two chances to win the World Series. They take two out of three. I find it hard for them to then be able to go back to LA and win two. This series is obviously predicated on game three on Monday night. I got to think being back home will energize this team. The fans, if you're not acting like a bunch of dummies, will have this team ready to go. Excited, despite how this has went, excited for the first World Series game in 15 years in the Bronx, and the Yankees take game three. And then this is, again, real quick, and this is how it can snowball in the other direction now. It's all predicated on game three, right? Yankees win. You're looking at heel versus a bullpen game.
Mm-hmm.
You have to feel good about that. You have to.
Yeah.
And then Gerrit Cole's back on the mound at home against Jack Flaherty, who had a hamstring injury. At least that's what they're telling us during the at-bat against Giancarlo Stanton. And I think he was going to the bullpen anyway, but that was his last batter of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You have to feel good. Now you're looking at a situation where things can be rolling in the Yankees' direction here.
Yep.
But it all starts with game three. So you're saying that, you know, next time
I
we...
Let me just clarify. I think my answer is because when we just start the grieving process early?
Yeah.
And you're just trying to get, I think I'm there right now. I don't think the series is over by any means.
You think they're in hospice right now and you're just waiting for somebody?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. It's like I'm waiting for the call to say they're in hospice. Like that's the next step. So I'm just prepare. I think I'm just in a mindset where I'm preparing myself. And so I think that's just where I'm at. I think it's a defense mechanism. And that's just where I'm at. And I just got to be honest about it. So if next, I say yes, then all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh, this team's back. So
episode 435 is fan therapy. It's not previewing game six.
Yeah. And you know what, man? If it is, the fan therapy is going to hurt. It really is. But you step away from this season and, yeah, a lot of missed opportunity. You want to win a World Series after 15 years. Not saying it's not a disappointment, but at least this team has won a pennant thus far. It'll feel a little different for me. I still think there's some success here. They got to the where they've been looking to go for 15 years. It's going to sting. It's going to hurt.
But, well, we can talk about that when we get there. We have a game three to play on Monday, and anybody going to the Yankee Stadium or anybody that's going to be watching this game, you know, if you've given up on this team, don't even bother showing up on to the Bronx. Don't even bother turning on the TV. If you're tweeting that this is going to be a sweep, it's over, don't even bother, okay? Because you've already made up your mind. For the rest of us here, the series is not over, okay? It's not over till you lose a home game, really. And that's the way you got to look at it. The Yankees have three home games here. And, yeah, I'll be the first to admit, they lose on Monday, it's over. But they got to play Monday. They control their own destiny here. That's the good part about this. You win the World Series. Nobody can stop you. And this is what Dodger fans are getting triggered over. They know it. They know this. The only people that have stopped the Yankees from winning these two games are the Yankees themselves.
Yep.
So let's go out there. We've waited 15 years for the World Series to be played in the Bronx. Let's go out there and let's root like fucking hell for this comeback. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But if you've given up after last night, I don't know what to tell you. Go watch Monday Night Football or go watch Dancing with the Stars or whatever the hell else is on. But at 8:08, I'm going to be sitting in my fucking spot ready for game three, hoping that that's the day that it changes for this team. And more importantly, hoping that this is the day it changes for Aaron Judge. So, you know, we want to thank everybody for their continued support throughout this postseason here. If you haven't done so already, please head on over to your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe to NYYST. Tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Pete's doing an amazing job over there with Game Season Live. Subscribe to NYY Underground on YouTube. And thank you very much for listening to episode 434 of the NYYST podcast. Chris, say goodbye.
Peace.